Hello, everybody. I'm Lieutenant Michael Bernard of the Bedford Police Department. I want to welcome you to another show of Bedford Police Radio, An Eye on Bedford. As every week, we start with a tip of the week, crime prevention. This week is locking your vehicles at night. The Bedford Police Department deal every year with dozens and dozens of thefts from a motor vehicle in people's driveways, simply because the residents are not locking their vehicles. 90% of the thefts from a motor vehicle occur because residents simply do not lock their vehicles. By locking your vehicles at night, you can prevent this crime. So help keep an eye on Bedford. See something, say something. Now, before I start the show, I just want to reach out to and take a moment of silence for the people in Brussels for the tragedy that they had. So if you just take a moment of silence and remember those people who lost their lives and who were injured. So my guest this week is Sergeant Kyle Thrasher of the Bedford Police Department. Hello, Kyle. How are you doing?
How are you, Lieutenant?
Good. So, Sarge, if you just want to let everybody know basically your professional background, where you came from, what brought you to the Bedford PD?
I have a law enforcement experience in the United States Air Force. I came to New Hampshire in 1996, and I've been a New Hampshire law enforcement officer since 1997. I've been with Bedford since the year 2000.
And what did you, what were your, prior to that, you were with Candia Police, correct?
That's correct.
And you came here, what, 2001?
2000.
And then what did you hold for titles?
I was a patrol sergeant in the town of Candia. Came here as a patrolman. Worked my way up to a patrol sergeant and to my current position now, which is department training coordinator.
So the department training coordinator is something new. We've never had that before, that we lobbied for and were granted the position due to the fact that our training regimen was obviously greatly improved. We went from very basic training to, in the last 5 years, having a robust training program. If you just want to touch about what we've done in the last 5 years, what we weren't doing 5 years ago.
Well, we've significantly expanded the training program in the department. We've added reality-based scenario training. With that comes a significant amount of training for the instructors, as well as additional equipment and resources that are needed in order to do that type of training. We've also expanded our firearms training, and we've also expanded our level of in-house instructors to train the trainer, so to speak, in a multiple different areas that we need to cover every year.
One of the things that we added we didn't have before was basically called simunitions. What does that entail? Obviously, we don't want to give any trade secrets away, but we want to let everybody know out there what they're paying for, especially the taxpayers, about what we're doing and who we have for trainers and the experience they have to have and the schooling they have to have in order to be able to come back and train the officers in the department.
Well, simunitions is a force on force simunitions type training simulator that allows us to have the weapons that we use on duty, but they shoot a less lethal plastic type cartridge. This allows the officers to go into reality-based scenarios, work their way through the training, and if it becomes a force situation where they need to use the firearm, they can use the training one that we have.
And it's basically not just force on force. We've also taught, or in the process of teaching, de-escalation drills as well, correct?
Yeah, it's what we like to call tactical de-escalation, where the officers are used to deadly force situations or not, and how to work their way down through the use of force to less lethal, down to no force whatsoever.
One of the things that's really been a hot button over the last 15 plus years since the Columbine tragedy was active shooter, something that we really took the bull by the horns in 5 years ago and got together with New Hampshire Homeland Security Emergency Management and did a drill that was really like a three-year process. If you just want to talk about that, how we started that, and obviously you and I know because you and I were the forerunners and the front runners on this and really kind of pushed it and made it come to fruition.
Well, unfortunately, critical incident active shooter type scenarios are a reality in the world today, and they are something that we need to address. We can't wait for something like that to happen before we start training for it. So we'll train for the worst and hope for the best. The active shooter critical incident type training has allowed us to get the officers into the schools, get into some of the businesses, and start really looking at these areas in case a situation does arise where we can get in and handle the threat and deal with the issue at hand.
And like I said, we've thanks to a grant, we were able to do this 2014, and we continue our training. And we want to be ready for any situation, whether it be in obviously a school business or the mall or something like that. We want to be ready. We're on top of it, and we feel that we're ahead of the curve when it comes to training. But obviously, training can always continuing. It never can stop, and we have to continue with it. So right now, we have two openings. Bedford Police Department. We're looking for patrol officers to come in, and we're seeking out colleges, we're doing oral boards. So if I'm a new graduate, what are you looking for? What are we looking for in a candidate to be a police officer? And what's the criteria? What do we have to go through in order to be hired as a police officer in Bedford?
Well, once somebody makes a selection process and is chosen as a candidate for us, they obviously have to go through a multiple step process. They have to have a background done. Obviously there's physical fitness testing as well as that, a polygraph, psychological examination. Once they make the cut, they will go to the New Hampshire Police Academy for 16 weeks. And then they have a very rigorous field training program, which lasts up to a year once they're at the station.
Now, obviously you're now in charge, or you've been in charge of the FTO program, which is field training officers. So we currently have six FTOs who are responsible for these new recruits before they go on solo patrol. So when you see an officer, usually two-man car out there, it's most likely somebody training with a veteran officer, learning how to do things. We call it the Bedford Way procedure policy, the Bedford police procedure and policy. So it is. It's a 20-week, up to a 20-week, could be more, before we let them go out on solo patrol. But you're in charge of that. You have to oversee the FTOs and make sure they properly train these new officers to be able to go on their own. What does that entail as far as an FTO? What do they have to go through? And what are you looking for? What do you look for when someone does become an FTO?
Well, we're looking for, out of a field training officer, we're looking for somebody who has obviously the skill set and the ability to teach. This is a difficult career to learn. It's even more difficult to teach it to someone. So we're looking for somebody who's well-rounded, on an even keel, and can successfully put their knowledge and put their knowledge down to the new trainee.
Good. So one of the things that we really did 5 years ago, and you and I, again, we've worked very closely together in the last 5 years, maybe sometimes too closely, but is community policing. I mean, we've really come a long way in the last 5 years. We've added something where it was almost non-existent. We did some, but not to the point we are now. We have four categories. We have senior citizens. We have Neighborhood Watch, youth program, which is the RUOK program, and business and retail. If you just take a moment and explain each one, what they do, what's involved with it. And obviously we have a couple things coming up, which we'll discuss as well. We also had just recently in December, we had a bingo night at Bristol Manor West. We had a spaghetti supper, which was a great turnout. But obviously the connect with the community is an important part of policing, because we're all responsible for policing in town, the residents, and as well as the police department. That's why we push the slogan, if you see something, say something. And nothing is more evident now that we look for people to the residents, if they see something suspicious, to call us, because we need you to be our eyes out there, because we can't be everywhere. But if you just want to touch base on the community policing part of what Bedford Police does.
Well, the community policing is a multifaceted. When it comes to the elderly, we have the RUOK program, which is essentially a phone service where we will, if people wish to be part of the program, we will call them at a designated time that they set up, and we just check on them. If they don't answer the phone,
that's a free cost, correct?
That's free. And if they don't answer the phone, we will send an officer to the house to make sure that they're okay and render any assistance that's needed. We also like to go to the assisted living facilities and nursing homes, talk to them about scams. Scams are very prevalent, and we like to educate them. We also do that with the business of retail. We work very closely with them. We've had a significant uptick in retail theft.
Yeah, let's talk about that. You yourself were involved in something when you were, kind of driving through town and saw something that didn't look right. But what's going on lately in the retail business and retail? A lot of stuff with fraudulent use of a credit card and accounts and fraudulent credit cards.
And we have seen quite a bit of credit card fraud, check fraud, and we're seeing that is being taken out at our local establishments. These people that are committing these crimes, they understand the policies and procedures of the retail stores, and they will pick those stores and hit numerous ones throughout town and throughout the state and committing these crimes until they get caught. We have found that most of these people aren't from the area, and they travel here, and like I said, they commit their crimes, and then they move on.
Usually we found out that they're setting up shop at a local hotel, and they disperse a bunch of groups out there, and one of the things they're doing is they're going there, and they try a small charge at first, and then if that charge goes through, then they come back, and they try like a $500 gift card, another $500 gift card, and then once they get that, it's usually a bogus bank account that they get through tapping somebody's account, and they'll start charging. For instance, is one of the stores in Bedford that you can get a vast array of credit debit cards or like gift cards. So what they're doing is they're charging $500 here, $500 there, and they'll turn around and they'll either try to sell that off or turn around and get it for money. But that's one of the things that we're having a problem with. And you're right, they're not usually from around here. They're usually from out of state. And they set up a shop at a local hotel or motel, and they go out and that's their job for the day. And they come back, and we've had one with the rest we had recently. I think they had about 15 gift cards that they had purchased illegally. What about the youth program? What do we do with that? And obviously we have a bike radio coming up and whatnot. So what does that usually entail? Like, I know a couple officers have done story time, and I really want to focus on the school safety checks that we do. That's huge.
The school safety checks are what we do is the officers that during the course of the school day are required to hit a number of schools, walk through, meet the teachers, the staff, the students, interact, make it so that it's not uncommon to see a police cruiser in the parking lot to have an officer in the school. That's worked out very well. We've had very good feedback with that. We've also had officers going into the preschools, some of the daycare centers, and reading to the kids. That's worked out very well. And then, of course, we have our bike rodeo, which we do every spring. And we've had great turnout with that. I believe we're going into our third or fourth year.
You're right. Yep.
And we've had excellent feedback with that. Lots of assistance from the community, and people seem to love that.
Another thing that we do is we have an open house. Usually it's in June. So we invite the public to come out and see what we're about. We usually show off our incident command vehicle, which is one of our prides that we have. Yeah. The motorcycle, which another thing that, obviously I rode for 10 years. And the pedal bike, which we do. And we usually have a taser demonstration. We find a new recruit or a new officer who is more than willing to be a target, so to speak.
Willing.
Yeah. And then what we'll do is we'll show how the taser works. And we usually have a dog show. We have a canine come in. The demonstration, we had state police a couple years ago they did a great job with that. So we're getting bigger and better every year. That's usually in June. So if you stay tuned to the website on www.bedfordnh.org and go to the police section, it'll be there for you to view. So usually that's in June. Obviously, you can like us on Facebook. We have a Twitter account. We also have Nixle. That's www.nixle.com. That is a free service that when you sign up, that'll send you any alerts that's happening in town. It could be a structure fire that's causing a traffic jam. It could be an accident. It could be anything that we need to put it out to you so you know what's going on in Bedford. The Facebook has been really good. It's exploded, actually, because we've had a lot of people have liked us. I think we're over 1,100 now. That's almost our prime, other than our website, our prime message, how we get everything out. And we do press releases there. We let the public know what's going on. So you can like us on Facebook, Bedford Police. So one of the things I want to talk, another thing is basically the business and retail watch we talked about, the youth group we talked about, senior citizens, are you okay, is the coffee with a cop. I mean, you are now our community policing guru who's taken the community policing program by the horns, and the second Tuesday of every month. We have Coffee with a Cop from 7A to 9A. Officer Robert Lavoie has been great. He's been doing it for, I think, going on a year and a half, almost 2 years now. So, but now that you're in charge of community policing, we have a new figurehead, a new representative for Coffee with a Cop, and it's none other than you, Sarge.
That's correct. So what we'll do is we're going to start rotating some of the different officers through there. I mean, Officer Lavoie has been great with this, very popular, but we're going to start rotating some of the other officers through there so that people can meet the other officers in the department.
That's great. So, I mean, it's always good to know. I mean, Officer Lavoie's got a great connection with the group and whatnot. So, yeah, it'll be good to see other officers get a connection. So, you, not just Officer Lavoie, give him a little bit of a break as he moves on to other things. It's motorcycle season, so I know he wants to get out there on the motorcycle and do some traffic enforcement, which is his primary thing and he loves to do. So, Sarge, the other thing I wanted to talk about is basically the community policing we spoke about. What is one thing in town that you think that could be changed? I mean, our traffic is really bad, but what if there's one thing in town you could change or like to change as far as the policing aspect, what do you think that would be?
Well, I definitely would like to see the traffic issue on 101 be alleviated. I think that obviously there's a lot of people been talking about that. I think changes are in the future, but that is that's been a significant source of our work, and I would imagine the people that drive that road every day, it's a headache. And I think to see that get a little better, a little safer, lessen the flow and the congestion on the road, I think would be, that we could alleviate that would be great.
And that's one of the things that, I hear, I was at the polls a couple of weeks ago, what I hear is people are complaining about speeding vehicles in town. Again, I hear about the Liberty Hill County Road intersection. We're working on that. We heard about the National Road in front of the high school. That's an issue in the morning, in the afternoon as well, that we have to deal with. We do put an officer there in the mornings. We kind of do a back, we let Officer Donahue do 1 week, we do another. So we try to put officers there, weather permitting. If it's a bad out there, we try not to put the officer out there in harm's way. But that's a major, obviously an issue. So a lot of problems on town as far as speeding vehicles. And, I try to tell people this aspect. Try to drive on a street on your road that you're traveling on as if it was your own road that you lived on and how you would want to travel on that road. And that kind of hits home, because if you're driving like it's on your road, you're going to slow down a little bit and you're going to be more aware of how fast you're going. Because you were in patrol for a sergeant for 10 years. How many traffic complaints we get, whether it's speeding vehicles on a certain road. And unfortunately, with our calls for service going up 3.5% every year, and we're trying to deal with, obviously 101, as you stated, being an overflow and everybody, using the side roads, that we're getting so many calls for speeding vehicles that unfortunately we can't be everywhere all the time. So we try to deal with it as it comes and put officers there to try to address the issues. Whether it be, Palomino, whether it be South River Road, 101. So we're always out there, and obviously the red lights are a big issue in town. We're trying to deter people from running red lights, especially 101. That's one of the things that we focus on. So so basically, one of the last things I wanted to talk about is obviously with what's going on in the country and around the world as far as, the terrorism is going on. We need everybody to reach out and, see something, say something. And Sarge, just want to touch upon the see something, say something, how we brought that about and obviously how that came to fruition and what it entails, basically.
Well, I know it's your favorite saying.
the TV, I know.
Just the concept is to be mindful of what's going on around you. Pay attention. And if you see something it's not right, it usually isn't, give us a call. That's what we're here for. We don't mind getting calls, no matter how minor it may be. We'll come out, we'll take care of it. And it's better to stop a problem early than have a bigger problem later on. And that's why if there's something going on, give us a call.
Absolutely. So this is 105.1 WBNH, Bedford Public Safety Radio. You're listening to Bedford Police Radio and I on Bedford. I'm Lieutenant Michael Bernard. And this will conclude this episode, this show. I want to thank you to Sergeant Kyle Thrasher for helping me.
Thank you, Lieutenant.
And being a part of my show and giving a little more insight on what it takes to be a police officer in town. Basically, a lot of institutional knowledge, knowing how the town works, a lot of training, thanks to you, who is now the head of our training department, who leads the way, our the department training coordinator. Basically, you know, giving us an insight on what it takes and all the training that we do out there. And then, until next time, I'm Lieutenant Michael Bernard. Help keep an eye on Bedford. See something, say something.